Maybe you've heard this story. It's about a young man who wanted to get married. He's real interested in getting married. And he brought one young woman after another home to meet his parents. Now, you're going to always meet the parents, of course. You're going to make sure mom and dad approve of the person that you're dating. Well, he brought these girls home, and one after another, his mother found fault with them. Oh, she just picked at the flaws that she could see and criticized the girl and ran her down. And so after trying many, many different times, he was just losing heart. He didn't think he was ever going to get married. And his buddy said to him, "You know what? I think you're going about this all wrong." And he said, "Well, what do you mean?" And he said, "I think you should be looking for a girl that is as much like your mother as possible." And he said, "You know, maybe that makes sense. I'll try it." So he went out and he found a girl that looked close to what his mother looked like, dressed somewhat like his mother dressed, talked a lot like his mother talked, and had some mannerisms like his mother had. So he took her home, meet his mother. Next day, his buddy said, "Well, how did it go?" And he said, "You know, that was really what my mother needed. She loved that girl." "Really?" "Yeah, but my father hated her." Well, that mother apparently had a gift that Lucy, Linus's sister, had. One comic strip shows Linus sitting with a really troubled look on his face. He's got his, his blanket over his shoulder and his thumb in his mouth, and he turns to Lucy and he says, "Why are you so anxious to criticize me?" And Lucy said, "Well, I just think I have a knack for seeing other people's flaws." "Well, what about your own?" Linus said. Without hesitation, Lucy replied, "I have a knack for overlooking them." Well, we have a lot of folks like that. We're in Boot Camp for Christians, the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7 this morning. This is basic training that Jesus gave his disciples on what it means to follow Jesus. It's about the character of a disciple. It's about the goals of a disciple, the values of a disciple, the behaviors of a disciple. And today we're going to see him give some basic training on being critical, judgmental, and passing sentence on other people. Now, you know, Jesus knows us, and he knows that all of us pretty naturally go around judging things, evaluating, looking at situations and looking at people and kind of drawing conclusions about them. Now, you know, that's not always bad. I mean, by having that ability to kind of weigh things and think through things and look at things, it can determine if we want to be like a certain person or whether we would not like to be like that person. It can help us to decide whether we want to make a certain choice or whether, you know, we'd just as soon not make that choice. It can help us determine if we'd enjoy a certain activity or whether we just let somebody else have a good time with it and not us. But as sinful as we are, we take this good ability that's given by God to be discerning, to evaluate, to make judgments, and we turn it into judgmentalism. We too hastily pass judgment on other people. We criticize them. We look down on them. We hold them up to ridicule. We measure them by a standard that probably even we can't live up to. And that kind of behavior is widespread. Everybody in the world has a temptation to behave that way. Somebody said the Church of Jesus Christ is itself full of those who make a habit of criticism and condemnation. Some seem to think their critical spirit is a spiritual gift. I've met some folks like that in church. They thought that God had just given them the ability to find fault and criticize so that everybody could be better. And they were just helping people be better by pointing out all their flaws and all their weaknesses. Well, I don't think the Lord believes that this is a spiritual gift. Lucy didn't have it. This mother didn't have it. And I hope you and I don't think it is a spiritual gift either. You know, we can be judgmental about a lot of things. I read a story where a woman came clean. She came clean on some other people. I'm not sure how noble that was. But she said, a few months ago, I was in line at the gym waiting to swipe my membership card to enter the gym for my morning workout when I heard something disturbing. Two women who were ahead of me in line started chuckling to themselves and commenting about a woman inside the gym. Lady number one said, I wonder if Fat Shamu is here this morning. Lady number two, pointing at the overweight woman on an elliptical machine wearing black-white outfit, said, yep, there she is. Oh, she is such a pig. Then they both swiped their member cards and chuckled their way into the gym. Yes, these were grown women in their 30s who got their jollies by making fun of a woman who presumably was working hard to positively deal with the issue that they were currently laughing at her for. Judgment is really an ugly thing. Unfortunately for those two women, what they didn't realize is that their comments about that woman told me and the world so much more about them than it did about that woman. Now think about how we can judge others, all the different opportunities we have. We judge people about how they drive. Why are they driving 55 in the left-hand lane? And you flash your lights at them and they act like they're blind. And weaving in and out of traffic. And you got to honk your horn to get them to move after the light turns green. Or we mock people because of their diet or their lack of diet. Or we criticize people's personalities or their intelligence or the way they speak or how they look. We criticize people's opinions and their politics, their behavior, their clothing, their abilities, their beliefs or their faith. We can criticize their friends, their accomplishments, their values, their parenting skills, their morals, and on and on and on. And of course, all the while we are doing this, we feel justified in doing so. We're entitled to point out the failures and the flaws and the inadequacies of others. After all, we've risen above that ourselves. It's too bad they can't get through it or they're not better. Now, why do we do it? Why do we so easily judge other people and criticize them and put them down? Why do we laugh at them? Does it make us feel superior in some way? Does it help us identify as part of a group that ridicules the same things? Do we think it's going to make people be afraid of us? That they don't want to be the target of our next scathing judgment? I'm sure psychologists could give us a lot of reasons. But we're going to see today that Jesus doesn't go into reasons. He just deals with the behavior itself. And he tells us what we should do to take its place. So I want to invite you to turn with me in Matthew 7. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 5. Basic training for disciples on passing judgment. Verse 1. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge,
you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take this speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Now notice a simple command here in verses 1 and 2. It's just as simple and bare bones as can be. Don't judge others. Now, of course, Jesus is not telling us that we can't be discerning. In fact, we should be. Today in our world, though, the world wants us never to be discerning, to accept everything and anything, to never pass any sort of moral, filter on what's going on, and just to welcome it all. And Christians can't do that. Christians know there is truth and there's falsehood. There's good and there's evil. There's light and there's darkness. There's God and there's the devil. And we need to discern between those things and the source of those things. So Jesus isn't saying we can't be discerning. But he is saying that once we've discerned something, we're not to put somebody else down who isn't doing what we think is the right thing in our discernment to do. So he gives some reasons, or gives a reason why we shouldn't judge others. And it's because he says, you will be judged. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. In other words, if you judge, you will be judged. First of all, realize that when you start putting other people down, you start criticizing others, that other people are going to naturally want to criticize you. They're going to come back at you. Or they're going to be just like you and criticize the things that you do. And he says you will be judged by the same measure with which you are judged. So if you lack kindness toward others in the way you talk about them, others are going to lack kindness in the way they talk about you. If you jump to conclusions too quickly about someone else, guess what? Others are going to jump too quickly to conclusions about you. If you act superior and therefore become judgmental, others are going to act superior to you. If you find faults and pick at faults real easily, guess what? There are going to be other people in your life that are going to pick faults with you, find little flaws as quickly as they can. Are you trying to look cool in front of others at somebody else's expense? Guess what? Other people will try to look cool in front of others at your expense. The way you judge others is the way people will judge you. But I want you to remember, too, he says that we will also be judged by God. The real issue in this judgmentalism is it assumes that we have the authority, the knowledge, the insight, the wisdom, the perfect moral values to actually pass judgment on someone else. Talk about that in a few minutes. But the Bible tries to dissuade us, and Jesus tries to dissuade us of that view, that you and I can set ourselves up as judges of other people. Now, if we do that, God says, that's fine. I'm going to remember how you judged others. And guess what? When it comes time to judge you, I'm going to judge you about those very same things. Okay? I'm going to make sure that your judgment is according to the same things that you judged others. So that's his commandment. You and I are to leave off judging others. We're not to be judgmental. But the second thing he talks about is not just the commandment, but a change in behavior. See, we need to take one thing away and replace it with something else. And he uses this very interesting and kind of crazy story, doesn't he? He uses a story about a person who sees a little bitty speck in somebody else's eye. And they go and they say, well, let me help you take that speck out of your eye. But the problem is, the person who's trying to take the speck out has a big log in their eye. Now, obviously, nobody has a big log in their eye. But in other words, they've got a bigger problem, okay? And so they are not going to be fit to take the little speck out of your eye because they can barely see with that big log in their eye. And so Jesus says, look, said, when you go going around and you go around trying to correct somebody else, you need to remember that there's a whole lot more in you that needs correcting than you're seeing in that other person. If you see somebody else's faults, if you see their sins, if you see their shortcomings, guess what? You've got way more than those that you've got to deal with in your life than you could see in that other person's life. Now, friends, sometimes it's good for us to be able to help a friend, somebody that we care about, see a flaw in their own life. But if you've ever tried to do that, even gently, with another person, sometimes they're going to come back and say, well, I may have a problem with that, but you've got a lot more problems than I've got. Or something to that effect. They'll reject our help because they're thinking that we are, what Jesus called them, hypocrites. You're acting like you are fit to fix me up when you can't even fix yourself up. Physician, heal thyself before you come and heal me. That's the difference between the speck and the log. Now, it's good if I can get to the point where I could really help someone else with the specks that they have, the little problems in their life. Maybe they're losing their temper too early, or they're using some bad language, or they're talking about people the way that they shouldn't, or maybe they're just not being nice to other people, or they're not being kind. And I'd like to point that out to them and just say, you know what, I wonder if you've noticed this in your life. I wonder if you should change a little bit. But I got to be very careful that I haven't got some glaring faults in my life when I go about trying to do that. The speck and the log. And so Jesus says, instead of going around with this log in your own eye, trying to go around and pick out specks in other people's eyes, what are we supposed to do? Get the log out of your eye first, right? Then you'll be able to see clearly so you can help the other person who's got the speck in their eye. So what is he telling us? He's saying, instead of going around looking for things to criticize in other people and thinking that you are qualified and capable to be that other person's corrector and critic, spend that time and energy fixing yourself. Looking at your own problems. Looking at where you fall short. Where you're incomplete. Where you've still got sin in your life. Where your attitudes aren't quite the way they ought to be. Where how you treat other people is not exactly what Jesus would want. He says, take care of those things first. Spend all that time and energy, you know, speck picking by taking out the log in your own life. Concentrate on your change in your behavior before you try to deal with the shortcomings of other people. And to do anything less than that is simply to become the hypocrite that Jesus said the man with the log in his eye actually was. Pretending he didn't have problems, but he could clearly see the problems in others. So the lesson is fairly simple, but once again, Jesus sets a high standard for you and I as his disciples. In Jesus' view, judgmentalism, criticizing others, running other people down, is a sin. Because it's taking God's prerogative to judge others and making it our prerogative. Listen to what Paul said. Two different letters that he wrote. So it was important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, Paul says this. But to me it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. Listen to this. In fact, I do not even examine myself. Now, careful here. He doesn't mean he doesn't look inside, because he says, I always try to have a clear conscience in front of others and in front of God. What he means is he's not condemning himself. He's not putting himself on the stand in front of the judge and getting cross-examined about his behaviors. He says, I don't even do that to myself. I don't sit there and say, well, oh gosh, maybe I'm no. He says, I don't even examine myself, for I am conscious of nothing against myself. Well, that's quite a statement. But he said, yet I am not by this acquitted. In other words, just because I think I'm okay and I haven't done anything wrong doesn't mean I haven't. He said, the one who examines me is the Lord God. He says, he's my judge. And if you're putting me down, or you say I'm slow of speech, or I'm not a good apostle, or I don't have do all the things that other apostles do, or I haven't won as many people to Christ as some other apostle has, he says, I'm not concerned about that at all. I don't care what you think. I do care about what God thinks. And I'm suspending judgment even of myself. I'm not even looking at myself and saying, yeah, I'm a failure, I haven't done well. Because God alone knows the truth. And he says, he who examines me is the Lord. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time. But wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. And then each man's praise will come to him from God. It's God's prerogative to judge. And he's the only one that can do it faultlessly, flawlessly, perfectly, because he knows the things that are hidden in darkness, and he knows the motives of the person. Paul was dealing with a problem among the Roman Christians. There were some who thought themselves spiritually superior to others within the congregation. And Paul says this in chapter 14, verse 4. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. You hear what he's saying? He's saying, that person you are criticizing is not your hired hand. He's not your employee. You don't own some right to go ahead and correct him or discipline him. He's not your servant. Whose servant is he? It's the Lord's. And those people that we sometimes criticize, they're not our servants. God didn't give them that relationship with us so that we could correct them and change them and, you know, discipline them for what they're doing. Uh-uh. They're God's servant. Who are we to judge another man's servant? If his master thinks he's great, that's all that matters. He goes on, verse 10, and he says, but you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? Notice, for we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Woo. I'm going to have to stand and give an account of myself before God. And when I give an account of myself, he's not going to let me say it was Coleman's fault that I did what I did. Okay. All the rest of you think it is, but it wasn't Coleman's fault. It's my fault. Okay? He's not going to say, well, my brother made me do it. Or even the devil made me do it. Said, all of us are going to stand before God and give an account before God. Stand before the judgment seat of God. He says, for as it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue will give praise to God. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. And wouldn't it be better for us to give an account in which we didn't run other people down and didn't criticize, didn't honk our horn in anger, didn't shake our fist, didn't threaten, didn't say derogatory or degrading words to other people? Wouldn't it be better if we were to stand before God and we didn't have to deal with any of that? Yeah, it would be. And so we need to leave off judging, as Paul said. Stop judging your brothers. Now, if you and I are guilty of being judgmental, if there are some times when we've been a little bit too quick to pass judgment on others or criticize them, if we've laughed at others or mocked at others, if we put somebody else down, then according to Jesus and according to Paul, we've sinned. We've sinned. And that needs to change, doesn't it? Change begins with the recognition that I've been sinning. I've been doing what's wrong. And step number two is to confess that before God and ask His forgiveness. And step number three is to turn away from that sin and to start doing what Jesus taught us to do in this passage. Start dealing with our own sin and not the sins of others. Start dealing with our own weaknesses and not the weaknesses of others. Start dealing with what we can change rather than what we think somebody else ought to change. Start dealing with how we speak and we act rather than criticizing how others speak and how others act. Get the log out of our eye. Then we'll be able to see clearly to cast the speck out of another's eye. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We're entering into a very serious time, a time where we have to personally respond to God. And maybe your personal response is just to acknowledge to God that there's something that needs to change in your own life and just ask His help to turn from it, to recognize the temptation when it comes, and then to confess it and move on. Do the right thing. Maybe you're here today and you have not yet invited Christ to come into your life and into your heart. You haven't had that life-changing encounter like Ashley talked about that made her a new person, gave her new freedom. And you'd like to talk to somebody today about inviting Jesus to come into your heart and becoming your Savior. During this moment, we're going to play some music quietly. You can slip out from where you are, meet me here at the front, and say, "Pastor Mark, I want to invite Jesus to come into my heart. I want to begin a new life with Him. I want to start walking in the path that He knows is best for me." Maybe there's other commitments that you need to make. You may need to follow Christ in baptism, or you may need to join the church. Whatever that might be, we invite you to slip out. We'll be glad to pray with you, talk with you, counsel with you, but you come. Heads are bowed now, eyes are closed. Music will play quietly. We invite you to slip forward.